Now notice the power of it. Where does he get his power? Well, we're told here he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. And rivers here, that's the superlative. In the Hebrew, it's hyperbole, actually, for abundance. He's planted by plenty of water. And he's a tree, if you'll notice. And he's a planted tree. God's trees are actually not wild-grown trees by any means. They are planted trees. And that means, I think, to be born again. Over in Isaiah 61:3, it says, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that he might be glorified. God, you see, doesn't use wild-grown trees. They're not wild-grown. They've been born again. They've been taken up and set out in God's garden, if you please, and set out by the river of water. Now, what is the river of water, by the way? Well, that's the Word of God. Somebody says, are you sure about that? Oh, I know it, because if you turn right back over in Isaiah to the 55th chapter in verse 10, he says, for as the rain cometh down and the snow from heaven returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void. It shall accomplish that which I please. It shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. And God wants his word to just come down like rain. I think radio is a fine way to, you know, just scatters it out everywhere. And that's what we're to do. And the word of God is to be gotten out. And it's water. And it'll produce, it'll cause trees to grow. And that's where God's trees are planted. It provides drink and sustenance and also cleansing. You see, there's washing of water by the word. And the psalmist says over in Psalm 104, verse 16, he says, the trees of the Lord are full of sap. Now, he doesn't say that God's trees are saps. He just says they're full of sap. And that sap's the word of God, the trees of Lebanon, which he's planted. And now he says something else about them. You see, the power is in the word of God. And we're told that they bring forth their fruit in its season. That is a very interesting thing, that God's trees, they don't bring fruit all the time. They bring forth fruit in their season. I hear today this statement made in this day of activity and nervous action, that the primary business of a Christian is soul winning. I disagree with that. Word of God doesn't say that. In 2 Corinthians, 2nd chapter, verse 14, listen to this. Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ, maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ to them that are saved and to them that are perished. Now, that's not all. To the one we are the savor of death unto death, to the other the savor of life unto life. Who's sufficient for these things? Well, I'm not. But I do know this, I'm called to give out the Word of God. And it's the business of the Holy Spirit to bring men to Christ. My business is to give out the Word of God. And we are experiencing on this program multitudes of people turning to Christ. I'm amazed at it. But we don't do it. The Spirit of God does that. We just give out the Word of God. And our business is to give out the Word of God, and when we do, he always causes us to triumph. Well, suppose nobody accepts Christ. Well, we are savor of life to them that are saved. We are savor of death unto those that perish. My responsibility is to give you the Word of God. Your responsibility is to do something about it. And my responsibility ends when I give it out. It's up to you from then on. I used to tell folk when I'd give the invitation, you live here today unsaved? Well, it's too bad, because you couldn't go into God's presence, say you hadn't heard the Word of God. Well, very frankly, I'm not responsible anymore. I've given out the Word of God, and I've really become your enemy. because you couldn't tell God you hadn't heard the gospel. And we want it to be true also of this radio ministry. Now, will you notice that the important thing here is that the child of God bring forth his fruit in his season. Now, he not only does that, but his leaf also shall not wither. Now, he's to have out his witness all the time. God's trees are evergreens, outward testimony. A friend of mine said years ago he was in New York City in summertime, in August it was. He came to a famous church there, and my, it was a fine coliseum, I should say, mausoleum. And he says that up on top it had carved in letters there in the marble, "This is the house of God, the very gate of heaven." And down beneath there was a temporary sign, says "closed during July and August." So the gate of heaven was closed there during July and August. Well, God's trees, the leaf shall not wither. But whatsoever he does, it'll prosper. Now, God promised material blessings to his people back in the Old Testament. But today, he doesn't necessarily do that. John Trapp put it like this: outward prosperity, if it follows close walking with God, is sweet, as the cipher when it follows a figure, adds to the number, though it be nothing by itself. Now, finally, you have the permanency of the blessed man. Notice the insecurity. The ungodly are not so. What? They're like the chaff which the wind driveth away. And then notice here, two ways. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. Two men, two ways, two destinies, and one's a dead-end street and leads to death. The other leads to life. God makes the difference, and he says what's right and wrong. We live in a day that's not sure. Well, God is sure. God divided light from darkness, the waters above from the waters below. And what are we told? For the Lord knoweth the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. And perish simply means he's lost. What a word of finality, if you please. The expectation of the wicked shall perish, Proverbs 10:28. He says, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that findeth." And the wide, broad way is like a funnel, but you come in at the big end, but it gets narrow and narrow, and finally leads to death. But the narrow way, you come in by Christ, who is the way, the truth, and the life, and it just keeps leading out. You come in the other end of the funnel, and it just gets broader and broader. He came that we might have life, might have it more abundantly. What a picture of the happy man that's presented here in Psalm 1.